path of sorrows. You know, there's days when I have been at work and I feel like that's such a waste of my time. So much time, so much of your life is spent with working, and by the time that you get done, you know so much, you are in a different situation, and you spend all that time to get there only to look death in the face, because you have to spend, it takes so long to get there. And so when I'm at work, I try to take the time to meditate and be productive for my soul, for the church, for the lessons, and for personal studies. It's difficult. You know, some days I'll be there and it will just pour out of me. I'll do a lesson or two lessons in a period of a couple hours through my breaks. Then other days, I can't see anything. I can't feel anything. I don't hear anything. I got a great view sitting off the back of my deck. Sometimes I'll sit out there. I'm lucky because there's a horse field behind it. It's a $1 million view for a $10 house. But you look out back and I'll see the sky and the sun. You see the mountains. You see the trees blowing in the breeze. And we got a train track that runs around the house, so you hear a train go by in the distance. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like a world out there with no God. These things exist without His recognition. And I'm not talking about Him recognizing the wind or the train. I'm talking about the people. They survive one day to the next, and they don't recognize Him. We don't really see Him, you know. All we have here is this book, and it's filled with stories and filled with promises that we'd like to think are real, right? We don't see Him. And whether people acknowledge God or they don't acknowledge God, the sun rises and the sun sets and business is transacted and people eat breakfast, they go to bed and they wake up. I did this lesson a couple weeks ago. And I started thinking about Christ, and I started thinking about, with honesty, I started thinking about how miserable His life could have been. I started thinking about all the things that He wanted to accomplish and all the excitement that He had when He was able to tell people of His Father. And then I looked at the path that He walked down and where He ended up, in the flesh, it had to have been miserable. It had to have been terrible. We work all of our life and then we go to a retirement that we hope is going to be okay. But where did He go? But I know where He is now, but He walked then. You see, a great multitude once followed Jesus, and they believed that He was someone. He told them that He was someone, and they believed that. There was thousands at one time that followed. Remember that He told, when He did the Sermon on the Mount, He set them down and He fed the 5,000, and you know, we're told from scholars that only included the men. And so you figured for every man there, every two men there, there was at least one woman. That's 7,500 plus the children that were there. If every family had one child, you're looking at 10,000 people. 10,000 people. And if you wonder what that's like, if anybody went to the baseball game last Saturday, they had a record attendance of almost 9,000 people. And you could tell, I mean, the stands were full. There was a lot of people there. And imagine if all those people were gathered to hear Jesus speak. Then it came down to where there was only 12. Out of those thousands and thousands of people that He was teaching, that He thought that I'm doing something with my life. I'm serving God. I'm reaching the people. He even cried over Israel. He looked out And he said, Israel, he said, oh, how I've longed to just gather you like a hen gathers their chicks in their wings. And he, at one time he had all of that. Thousands of people listened to him, and it came down to only 12. Yet just one of them betrayed him, and it brought down all that remained. Out of those 12 that followed him, one caused the other 11 to fall away. Because that one caused him. Now this was all in the will of God. God didn't stop this. Jesus didn't stop this. Could you imagine what would have happened had he not gone to the cross and not paid for our sins? But one person caused him to be arrested and all the 11 to fall away. Even Peter, who watched from a distance and got about as close as he could, until someone said, weren't you with Jesus? Weren't you with Jesus? And he said, no, I wasn't. John 12, 27. He says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. You see, Jesus didn't waver from the path of sorrows, and it was a lonely one. He said that his soul was troubled. There was nothing, you know, when your soul hurts, when there's something that's happened that can't be really taken back, you know, you can't put any salve on it. You can't take a pill. It doesn't help. And Jesus had come to a place when he used to teach thousands of people. And then he'd come to a place where he was filled with sorrow. Luke 22, 52 through 53. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, to the captains of the temple, and to the elders who had come to him. He said, have you come out against me as a robber, as against a robber with swords and clubs? He says, I was with you daily in the temple. Why did you not seize me then? But he says, this is your hour. Go ahead. It's the power of darkness. He said, I had my hour. And he said, you're going to have yours. You see, the Father has given us all an hour. 1 hour. Just a period of time. Not really long. If we think about an hour, it's a period of time. It could be a long hour, depending on what you're doing. Or it could be a short hour, depending on what you're doing. But God said He's all given us a short period of time, which will reveal our hearts to our intentions to ourselves. And it is given to us as Christians the power of choice to either stay on that path or choose another. Because the path that Jesus was on in the flesh, it was a miserable one. He was teaching people about God. He was trying to show them the difference between darkness and light. He was trying to be the example that they needed to be. And one by one, they walked away. And he said it filled his heart, his soul, with sorrow. John 19, 10 through 11. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? Jesus answered and said, you could have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. You see, because in that hour of time that he had to prove his worth to Christ, he didn't. He backed up. And all I can say is that when we look at the example that Christ left for us, how much worse did He have it than we could possibly have it? And He did not back up. He taught thousands of people down to 12, and one betrayed Him, and it caused everything else to follow, but He still stayed the course. He still stayed the course. Now, a good theologist or a theologian or whatever, title they like to give themselves, they will tell you that the reason that this happened is because Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit in His life and the apostles at that time did not. That's what they'll tell you. So they'll push it off on God that happened because they hadn't been given the strength yet. Scripture shows us something a little bit different. For one, Jesus showed us those who stood against Him that His power came from above to overcome them. It wasn't within Himself. It wasn't because of who He was. It wasn't because He was the Son of God. It wasn't because He taught the truth. It wasn't because He stood there and He wanted the best for them. He made sure that they knew, that Pilate knew. He says, "You have no power over Me unless it was first given from above." And He wanted them to know that the power that they used against Him, the power that He had to overcome, came from above also. It didn't come within Himself. Romans 12, 18 through 21. This is a good verse that people like to use when we try to stand against certain things in the world and they call us hypocrites. Romans 12, 18 through 21. If it is possible, that means that sometimes it will not be possible. He says, if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I have to say that sometimes that's an easy step and sometimes it's not an easy step. And sometimes we want to live peaceably and sometimes we don't want to live peaceably. But he says, if it's possible, Paul is telling us, this is somebody that's living out what Jesus has said. And he said, if it is possible, as much depends on you. You know what that means? If your first response for why you can't do something is because I've done something, you're not doing what Jesus had asked. Because had Jesus done that, He had plenty of reasons to walk away, didn't He? He didn't say as much as depends on the others. He says as much as depends on you. And He knows exactly what we're talking about here because He says in 19, He says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Why would He have to say something like that when He tells you to live peaceably with other people? Because sometimes things that happen make you mad. Do you think that Jesus was angry when those people walked away from Him? Do you think that in the flesh that He wondered, is this really worth it? This path of sorrows that I'm on, that I've given up everything that this world has to offer. All for these 12 men, and one of them has betrayed me, and now they have all fallen away. Is this really worth it? He had the power of the Holy Spirit. But He tells us in these comforting words, He says that He will repay. Nobody gets by with anything. Comforting verse that has always been for me in my life. We all have our favorite verses, but He says, be sure to know that your sin will find you out. I'm not going to fool God. And I know there's a part of me that wants to. And I'm glad that I can't. He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And He says this to your enemy. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on their head. Verse 21, He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Not an easy place to be. Because what feels right in the time of wrath is wrath, not mercy. What feels right in the time of confrontation is strength. Not humility. And Jesus, when they came and took Him, all that He did, when they came and took Him away at the garden, they went to fight just like you would have thought they would. He went to fight against them. And He told them, put away your swords. All He told them was, He said, if you wanted to take Me, He says, did I not stand before you in the synagogues every day and teach? You didn't come and get Me then. So why are you coming to take me now? He told them the truth. And see, that revealed their hearts. That's what the truth will always do. And that's why I'm glad that it's the Word of God that teaches and disciplines and not men. Because we can be failures in the eyes of God. In the flesh, Jesus had to wonder if that path of sorrows that he was on was really worth it. For you? Really? For me? For our ancestors? For the people that sit out there, that spend their whole life dishonoring God. And then one day they see the truth. Is a lifetime of disobedience worth that one act of obedience that Christ died for? And I'm not talking about just the immersion. I'm not just talking about the confession. I'm talking about that one act of obedience that you truly will learn to trust God with your life. Because I tell you what, He did. But I want to show you something. You see, Jesus was in a situation where He could not get along with all men because of Scripture. And that power that He talked about that came from above, that gave Him the strength to do this, He had to show us that it was real. It's easy enough to say what we're going to do. It's easy enough to think what we're going to do. And it's easy enough to pump ourselves up in our minds that we're going to do this. But to actually stand and do it in the face of the things that He did, it wasn't easy. And that power that He had, that He said that overcame, He said that, "You're going to crucify me." Because Pilate said, "You're talking to me like this? I have the power to crucify you." And Jesus said, "You don't have any power unless my Father has given it to you from above." It's pretty tough right there. Because He knew what was coming. He had told the apostles, remember, that He was going to be delivered up and that he was going to be crucified. Remember? He knew what was coming. But He stood His ground. He couldn't get along with Pilate. He couldn't agree with all the things that were going on. He couldn't make any deals to make this just go away. God had set out a path before Him and He had to choose whether it was worth it or not. And the more you look at it, it wasn't really a great path in the flesh. John 20:19, but He had to show us that it was real. He had to first show us that it was real. That's what Larry had said this morning. That He doesn't ask us to do anything that He hasn't done first. And He had to chew on His tears to do it. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." You see, these men, with no power from above, they were scared. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. The day of Pentecost had not come. And here were these people that had abandoned Jesus. But He had told them He was going to raise. And so these people got together, these apostles got together in this upper room, and they had the doors locked because they were afraid the Jews were going to come in and kill them the way that they had killed Jesus. And they were scared. They had no power from above. But I tell you one thing they did have. They weren't willing to give up on Jesus. This was before the Holy Spirit came. This was in light of their own death pending. Because they locked those doors because they were scared to death. They thought someone was going to come in and lead them away as followers of Christ. But they could not give up on Jesus. You see, God will certainly give us the power to overcome. He has promised us that, has He not? He has. He's told you, if you will trust me and walk the walk that I've asked you to walk, I will give you the strength to do it. But there is one thing that God will never, ever give you, and that is the desire to follow Him. These men stood in that room not knowing whether they would live or die, but they stood there because they had a desire to still follow Christ, but they didn't see Him, they didn't hear Him, and they certainly didn't have this to read like we do. But they had a desire to follow Him, and that did not come from the Holy Spirit. God did not give that. Those thousands and thousands of people that He taught, you had 11 men that refused to give up on Jesus. They did at one point. They all walked away. But they came back together and they thought better of it because they didn't give up on Christ. Acts 19, 8 through 9. And He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, He departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Went into the synagogue and spoke boldly. And when He did, there were people there that hardened their hearts. You think they did the first time He walked through the door, the second, the third? He said He went in there reasoned daily in that school. 3 months He taught. People that sat there with hardened hearts. And when they began to speak evil of the way, when they began to turn on Christ and they began to speak of things that they shouldn't, He departed. But it wasn't just Him. He withdrew the disciples with Him. All of these apostles succumbed to death because they would not give up on Christ. All of them did. One way or another. And it wasn't a pleasant, just breathe your last while you're sleeping. And they say, oh, he was so peaceful. He looked so peaceful. You see, this wasn't a death that was easy for them. Now, they had the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to walk this walk and do the things that they did. But even before they had that, they had a desire to serve God. And for whatever it took, they were not going to walk away. Sitting in this building has never, and it will never, make you a Christian just sitting here. Your desire in whom you are and whom you are willing to serve will. This life is full of uncertainty. And Jesus says that the attacks come from every place, inside, outside, to the point where you stand alone. But He didn't give up. And He showed us why He didn't give up. Do you know why? Because if He would have walked away, the people that look to you for real answers, I'm not talking about just easy answers, I'm talking about real answers. If you would walk away, where would they be? Jesus had to set the example. He had to show you that all of this was real and it was worth dying for. Whether if it was physically, emotionally, or in this world. Because He gave up everything to be able to show you that the power that he preached was real. You only have to bring one thing to the table: your desire to serve Him. That's all that He asked. He doesn't ask you to have all the answers. He doesn't ask you to have the strength to resolve all the issues of the world. He doesn't ask you for that. He asks you to bring one thing when you walk in this building and you hear His Word preached, and that's a desire to serve Him. of all the things that God can do for us. He can't do that for you. He can't. And so, if the church grows, or the church shrinks, or the church expands, who is that based on? That's based on the desire of the people sitting here and the willingness that they are to work to get this done. Preaching's not easy. Listening to preaching is not easy. Coming here is not easy. We all have days that we have obstacles that are in our way. And we all have things that happen that changes what we do. But the one thing that should never change for us is our desire to serve the Lord. We can't teach that. We can show people that, but we can't teach them. How did 10,000 people listen to Christ, but yet He could only choose 12? And He said, even one of you was the devil. How's that possible? The Word of God puts a fire in your heart. It lights up your mind. It helps you see things. When you look at a tree blow, you know that God commanded that wind to blow. When the grass grows, He gave it permission to rise up out of the ground, because that's the way He set it up. And yet some people can sit and look at all of these things, and it's a world with no God. And sometimes I can see that that's a pretty easy place to be, because I don't hear, I don't feel, I read, and I don't comprehend. But Jesus said that path that He was on, He stayed on that path to be the example for you. You stay on that path to be an example for someone else. It's not an option that you come here and worship. It's not an option. And if it is an option, then where's the desire to serve? Of all the books that we read and all the letters that Jesus has spoken and all the things that Paul sacrificed to bring to them, it all comes down to your desire to tough it out with Christ. Because I got to tell you, if you really look at His walk, and if I was on that walk, I don't know if I could have done it. I don't know if I could have rose daily as things continued to get worse and worse, and for Him to put one foot in front of another. But that's why Christ did it, and not me. Your desire and whom you are willing to serve will save your soul. That power that comes from above, Peter told us about that. The very man that looked across the fire and was trying to see what was really going to happen with Jesus, what was really going to transpire. And someone said, "You're with Him. You're one of them." And he said, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." And then Jesus later looked at him and said, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." He said, "Then feed my sheep." He wasn't talking about physical food. I mean, I know that we have food and we give food and we have dinners and stuff, but he wasn't talking about that kind of food. Because the apostles barely had any money. Do you remember the guy laying there and he said, "Silver or gold I do not have." He said, "Well, what I have I give you. Arise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." When he told him, he said, "Feed my sheep." He told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit." That power to walk this walk that He's asked you to walk. And you know, it's not Him that's making it difficult on you. It's the world. It's ourselves. His Word shows us so many things and opens our eyes if we'll just look. But I don't understand. There's days that I'm in the Word and I read, and they're just words. And I try reading some more, and they're just words. And so I shut the book, and I meditate on the things that I've been taught that I know are true. And I think about the people in my life that have not given up. Because if those words are dead, that's a trick of the devil. Those words aren't dead. I'm being deceived. So I go back to my foundation. I go back to that immersion. I go back, and if I have to relive those things in my mind, I do. And the things that have changed in my life, how I'm not that same person that I was immersed. I stay on that path because Christ stayed on that path. And those apostles stayed on that path. We will never accomplish anything and for the Lord if we don't do the things that He's asked. And He's asked for you to bring that desire. That's all He wants from you. Are you willing to serve Him? And He says, if you are, He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know I've said it before. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He tells you that that is a promise that He's given. So if you have a desire to serve God today, and you have not come forward, why are you waiting? What's the problem? I know what my problem was. But you have to determine your problem. You have to decide what is it that's a stumbling block between you and following the Lord. And that question never goes away from the time that you're immersed until you're on your deathbed. What hinders you from following the truth? That's what Scripture asks. You ran well. What hinders you from following the truth? So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?